It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan.
31 days of Halloween.
You know, one of the comments I get a lot as a paranormal investigator has always been, "Geez, John, how come there's no haunted churches?" Well, vast numbers of the deceased are buried every day in churchyards all over the world, and so it is perhaps hardly surprising that many churches contain evidence of ghostly beings, not yet ready to rest. Every year, there are hundreds of reports of spectral sightings in these holy houses, some of which have been captured on camera to evade all explanation. One of the most famous photographs was taken in the picturesque village of Newby, Cumbria, in 1963. It was a quiet day, and the Reverend Kenneth Lord decided that it was an ideal opportunity to photograph the altar, having promised some day before to supply pictures to the village magazine. He loaded his antique black and white camera, set up the shot, and took the picture. Everything appeared totally normal, until he developed that frickin' photograph, that is, though, which clearly showed a tall, hooded, transparent figure to the right of the altar. Oh, lovely! The reverend gentleman was unable to explain the anomaly, and vehemently denied having faked the apparition in any way at all. Experts analyzed the picture to see if any kind of forgery had taken place. However, even after the most rigorous testing, scientists remain baffled. Recent examination using modern technology has further deepened the mystery, as it has shown that not even the latest computer software could produce the same photographic image. What is the answer to this mystery? Did Reverend Lord possess technological skills far advanced than those we have today? Or could this photograph be evidence of a kind of spirit world invisible to our naked eye? A similarly perplexing picture was taken in 1891 during the early days of photographic technology on site of Camberbear Abbey in Sheriffshire. The abbey had a turbulent history, though. Having originally been a 12th century Cistercian monastery, all that remained following King Henry VIII's desolation of the monasteries in the 16th century was the abbot's house and hall. In the early 19th century, this highly desirable residence set in 22,000 acres of rolling countryside was presented to Sir Stapleton Cotton, along with the title of Viscount of Cumbermere, as a reward for his many services to his country. Oh, you see where this is going. This illustrious cavalry officer had a dazzling career, having been made governor of Barbados back in 1817. While holding this post, he ordered an investigation into the famous mystery of the moving coffins. Despite his best efforts, he was ultimately never able to establish how a number of coffins in a seal vault could repeatedly move around within the crypt. The Viscount was to come to an unfortunate end 74 years later, when he was knocked down and killed by a runaway horse-drawn carriage in his home village. On the morning of the funeral, a cold day in December, Miss Sybil Corbett decided to bid the Viscount's residence a sad farewell and photograph the hall as a memento. This once vibrant place seemed eerily still and quiet when she took the picture, and she reported feeling vaguely uneasy. When that photograph was developed, it proved that her sixth sense had been right, for she seemed to have captured on film more than just the spirit of the place. It is said that if the picture is studied closely, the translucent outline of the head and chest can clearly be seen in the armchair, with an arm resting along the side. This apparition is said to resemble the deceased Viscount Cumbermere, who perhaps, like the photographer, had decided to say one last goodbye to the hall as well. Such ghostly apparitions are not confined to the UK, however. Across the Atlantic, in the USA, many strange sightings have been reported, of which perhaps the most famous have occurred in the burial ground of the Westminster Presbyterian Church all the way in Baltimore. In 1786, members of the church committee decided to build a war cemetery on the site of a former peach orchard, located just outside the city boundary. Word soon spread the tranquility and beauty of the site, and soon all the most affluent citizens were building elaborate tombs there to house their deceased. These illustrious denizens were 24 generals, 4 congressmen most notably, Edgar Allan Poe and his family. During the first half of the 19th century, Baltimore experienced an increase in population and underwent radical change. Many new buildings were required, and the countryside surrounding Westminster Church was soon built over. By 1850, such was the requirement for land that city officials declared that all burial grounds not directly attached to a church had to be relocated to the outside city. I guess I'll say it again. Do you want ghosts? Because this is how you get ghosts. In order to avoid obeying this decree, the Westminster Committee decided to attach the site to the church by building supporting arches in the vault and erecting walls around the existing pathways. Relatives were allowed easy access to the graves for the loved ones in the catacombs beneath the building. As time passed, however, the city expanded and Presbyterian worshippers moved elsewhere. Eventually, the cemetery fell into disrepair and suffered damage at the hand of vandals, vagabonds, and body snatchers. Children, adopting it as a playground, were apparently seen digging up graves and running around the cemetery with skulls on top of broom handles. Because so many sightings of supernatural experience had been reported to this old cemetery because of the high level of disrespect shown to these buried people there. Oh, good God. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, I'm telling you. This isn't good. This isn't good. Of all the spirits to appear at that graveyard, the most frequent visitor is the ghost of Lucia Watson Taylor, who was interred in 1816 at the tender age of 16. There are numerous corroborating eyewitness reports that describe this benign apparition of this girl kneeling in prayer by her own grave. The shadowy, mysterious figure of a man dressed from head to toe in black has also been spotted in the cemetery over the years. Apparently, he's always wearing the exact same clothing. His head and face are covered by a fedora and scarf, and he holds a stick. Interestingly, he appears annually on 19th of January, the birthday of Edgar Allan Poe himself. Could this be the ghost of the deceased author himself? Such is the level of hauntings in this churchyard, and that it's frequently visited by psychics and ghost hunters alike. While all speak of the presence of otherworldly spirits, this would appear to be backed up by investigations using electronic voice phenomena, which is why it caught my eye. This technology has captured tape recordings of strange murmurs. Could these be the evidence people have been looking for from the other side? Very, very interesting. Edgar Allan Poe? Could this be his ghost? Quote to Jonathan, nevermore. Guys, I hope you're enjoying 31 Days of Halloween. Don't you forget to jump in tomorrow. There'll be another episode just for you.